Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, and shall we roll?
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hello, friends, and welcome in. This is the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It's week 14 waivers. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Jake Seeley. And we are here to literally get you through the rubble that was week 13. Week 13's injuries were crazy. And what a perfect time to do it, you know, like right into the final regular season games of the week of the year, as week 14 is here, week 15, your playoffs are going to be going. So no perfect time then to lose like your starting wide receiver, your quarterback, your running back, then right before the playoffs. So that's why we've got the waivers for you. And Jake, probably a little bit more, I don't know, this actually might have been an easier week to construct the waivers because of all the injuries. It might have been a little bit more pulling and shoving to get some names that might have been relevant if there weren't any big injuries.
I would say that the fact that there's two relevant injuries, maybe a third, but it's not a week where you're hoping for a rescue situation to get you into the playoffs. There might be one or two, maybe, but I mean, it's not anybody you're going to feel super great about. But that's why we've been talking about a lot of these people that we're not going to talk about while you check the column for the entire year.
Yeah, and that, you know, getting ahead of the game. So hopefully you were able to get ahead of the game. The little slight funny thing is the big crazy bipocalypse in week 13 actually might have also been the slightest advantage to waivers this coming week, because people may have dropped some of these players. So the six teams were on a bye. People were desperate, needing to have must-win situations. So you might have had a couple guys. Keaton Mitchell's ownership, still pretty low, just pointing out. Yeah. I mean, it's for your marker, it's under 60%. So there's a decent likelihood that that bye week actually helped just a tiny bit. If you want to be able to kind of follow along with what we're doing here and expand it, make sure that you go and check out the waiver wire column over on The Athletic right now. Deals still happening. So if you don't have a subscription, go and sign up. Most of you at this point, I imagine, do. But you can get the full column, and the awesome ranks article is going to be posted right at the stroke of midnight into Wednesday. You guys will be able to start prepping for week 14.
Got a ranks list that's expanding to 2 weeks, because I was originally doing the top intros, TV show intros. And it was because we're going back and watching Daredevil. I'm watching it with Nicole because she never watched it. I was like, man, I forgot. This is one of the ones like I could just sit through every single time. And I was like, Westworld stole their theme from Daredevil for their intro. But anyway, point being, started doing it. And I'm like, man, I got like 26 intros. I'm going to have to. So I'm separating between live action, like live people intros, and then animated show intros, because now
that's pretty good. You know, that Daredevil show I never finished. And I'm not a not finished show type of person, but I just kind of. I don't know. I liked Daredevil, and I just kind of like checked out at the end. But doing the themes, that's a good one. That's a really good. Where did because I didn't see. Have you already done the television show side, or is that this week? And then cartoons is
it's all shows. Oh, so you mean television versus art? I haven't. Yeah. I just made the list for both of them. I have 31 shows.
So is it about the iconicness of it, or like
it's whatever you want the definition to be?
Okay, because I was thinking Lost. Like, there's nothing really crazy to Lost, but Lost's open theme was like I don't know. It was very iconic, like how it did that type of thing. You heard the sound. That was the Lost sound. Like, I think that probably belongs highly up there, but it doesn't have the thematic feel of, you know, maybe some of those others. So all right, that's actually a very fun thing to look forward to. I can't imagine what's going to be near the top of the cartoon one, Jake.
Duck? I have no idea.
Yeah, I just can't imagine what that's going to look like or anything like that. Let's talk about week 14, though.
Okay.
When you talk about week 14, you've got to talk about the injuries in week 13. A lot of you know the core of what happened. Tank Dell obviously led the way. It was confirmed he is out for the season. A couple other injuries that loomed. two things that we did get pieces of information for on Tuesday here that I think were very important, at least one very, very important to the waiver aspect. First off, the Monday night game, Trevor Lawrence avoided season-ending ankle injury, even though it was hard to believe because they – did we ever get an answer with the cart thing? Why did they make him after he like – it looked like he broke his ankle, and then they made him walk. It was like the Exodus. They made him walk the entire stadium through the tunnels, no cart. What was that about? Why?
I don't know. What do you think? Why do I have any insight into this?
Someone
I thought
like,
he was still walking on the way to the hospital.
It was crazy. He might still be walking. It's crazy. Somehow he also didn't re-injure it in the 2.4 miles he had to walk through the stadium to get back to get checked out. He avoided a serious, serious ankle injury. I don't know if that helped him avoid for the coming week. And it's bad timing because Trevor Lawrence is a top 10 starting quarterback, obviously. We saw Calvin Ridley completely disappear once Christian Kirk got knocked out, and I haven't seen any new report. That's another injury. Jags are a mess, and their fantasy prospects might even be messier in these must-win situations. Are you holding out any hopes
for Trevor Lawrence to come back for the end of the season?
Oh, any Trevor Lawrence, if Christian Kirk were to come back this week, Travis Etienne, if CJ Beathard is there.
I don't see how Kirk's coming back this week. So, I mean, with Beathard, I would expect actually a little bit more ETN. You might actually even get D'Ernest Johnson as a Hail Mary 14-teamer type of situation just because you don't want Beathard. But there's going to be check downy, as we've seen. So there's some hope. And Zay Jones, I would still take – I mean, he's in the waivers, so I would take a chance on him. But I think
Beathard
it's obviously –
Jones.
Yeah, it's going to be a downgrade. There's no question about it. It's just whether or not we get Trevor Lawrence for our fantasy playoffs or if it's just he's even out until the Jaguars hit their playoffs.
And it sucks. It was definitely a brutal blow to all of this must-win stuff that's going to happen here. So, again, we don't have the exact information. I would imagine after that ankle injury, you don't play Trevor Lawrence this coming week. So if you're in a must-win situation, you're going to need to pay attention to quarterback streamers if you didn't have any big backup. So that was everything coming out of Monday Night Football. The news we got.
I was also busy looking up how his 4 mile walk if he would have left the stadium to get to the St. Vincent Hospital.
Really?
this is what rabbit hole I was going down.
I mean, couldn't they put a wheelchair? There are things that don't make sense sometimes. That one was just like, well, what are we doing here? Like, it was like 10 minutes later, they cut back. He's still just like limping in the tunnel. It was crazy. And they're never going to hear the end of it either for forcing him to, you know, to have to do that. But luckily he was okay. And he didn't fall over, just some nonsense. The other injury piece of news that we got, this was confirmed. This was speculated on when the injury happened. Adam Schefter reported that Ramondre Stevenson is expected to miss several weeks, and that several weeks could even lead to the season. It looks like, I think it's a high ankle sprain, and those can, I mean, I think Pickett just had surgery on that. So that, yeah, I agree. He's done. And that takes us to the very tippy top of waivers when you're looking for running backs, Ezekiel Elliott. So we're going to be talking about running backs, wide receivers, and some streaming options, and we can just go right into it because Elliott is now thrust in as the number one, except it might be the worst offense in the NFL. So what do you do when you – obviously you pick him up because this is a top guy, but like, you know, how hard can you go in on Ezekiel Elliott with that just – horrifically bad Patriots offense, and they're going on Thursday, which makes it, I guess it doesn't make it any worse. You have the clarity of it, but they just stink. Talk to us about Elliott and why he is at the tippy top, or any other reasons why he's at the tippy top of running back waivers this week.
Yeah, there's no more reason than AJ Dillon, and that's who he is. AJ Dillon doesn't look that great, but he's getting all the work. Joshua Kelly didn't look that great, got all the work. I mean, you could get 20 carries for 44 yards. It could happen, but, you know, it's just going to be a volume game. Maybe they involve Ty Montgomery. Maybe they involve Jamichael Hasty, who's on this team. Like, Hasty's been bouncing around. But I think that you're just looking at the volume's going to be there. He's already used it in the passing game throughout the season. He was already used sometimes around the goal line. And you mentioned the Steelers aren't great. The Chiefs, but at least he's going to get receptions. He's got Broncos, who everybody can run against. The Bills' defense hasn't been that good this year, what we thought it could be. And so it's not the worst schedule. But as you mentioned, this team might score 6 points every single week. So He's an RB2. He's probably the lowest of low-end RB2s that you could get. He's right there with, like, the A.J. Dillons of the world. All the volume, but a little bit upside. I would go Dillon over him, but, I mean, he's in that conversation.
Yeah, I was going to actually say, if Brian Robinson misses time and is Antonio Gibson, but I think they're on bye this week. They're the last yep. team that's on a bye, so it doesn't matter. If you had to pick Elliott or one of the Texans running backs, where would you go?
Elliott. At least yeah. I know.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
But it's going to be out every single week.
Yeah,
it looks like it might be going back to Damian Pierce, but what if it changes right back next week?
Yeah, we don't know what the hell's going on there. I wanted to see. I don't know. We'll have to see where the ranks are. What is your like the early preview of what that rank range is going to be for Elliott? Do you think?
I don't know. 23.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. No, that's perfect. That's an exact number.
That's like right the guess range. After the top of my head. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the RB2, the back end of RB2. We're switching up kind of the scope of how we're doing this. We've got even like topic things. Let's talk about DJ Dallas. DJ Dallas coming in at number two, at least, as our RB conversation here, because we were seeing some of DJ Dallas in Seattle. So talk us through what your interest in DJ Dallas is.
Hopefully none. This is absolutely 100%. I even said the thing. There's nothing more than a potential 1 week play because Charbonnet looked bad with that injury. The injury itself looked bad. And then Kenneth Walker still hasn't been able to return. Crazy. So if they're both out, this is back to the Zeke kind of AJ Dillon conversation. And DJ Dallas, it's a terrible matchup against the 49ers, but at least he's a receiving running back. And could get some check down opportunities when they fall behind quickly, possibly. And maybe they air it out a little bit more. But yeah, this is potentially nothing more than a 1 week play. This is just if you're desperate and, you know, your options on the waivers are the Bears running backs, not knowing how that's going to shake out. Ty Chandler, not knowing how that's going to shake out for another week or backups. And you want somebody's going to get 15 touches. There you go. Okay, I mean, this could be even worse than Zeke, but he's there for that reason alone. I even wrote up the rankings column, and I gave three scenarios of if Kenneth Walker's 100% and Charbonnet's not, if Charbonnet's 100% and Kenneth Walker's not, well, what if they're both not? Like, it's just like, it's going to be, we need a flow chart for the Seahawks at least.
I mean, and it all ends with them playing the 49ers, which doesn't make really any of it that great. Because I was going to say, who would you rather, DJ or Elliott?
And it's by a mile.
Yeah. Well, I mean, DJ Dallas with Charbonnet in, they were using Dallas like in every third down. And of course, I had taken a reception prop with Charbonnet, and it was every third down DJ Dallas was coming in. So, I mean, they'll use him at volume, but they are probably going to sling the ball a whole lot more. And the 49ers, they just eat running backs alive. So even though it's a 1 week situation, it's pretty much the worst situation he can get. So it's a pure desperation play. Moving over to the Bears, you mentioned it. I actually think picking up, if he's out there, Roschon Johnson, who was only like 20-something percent owned, I think, in Yahoo leagues, picking him up is a little bit more of a priority than anything right now. And the reason I'm saying this is all three of them are theoretically back, and we don't know what's going to happen, and this is what makes it so messy. I would love if I have the ability to pick up Roschon, thinking the Bears say, let's do this because he looked really good. But we've also seen Foreman look good. We've seen Herbert look good early on. It could go a million different ways. And at the end of the day, the easiest answer, Jake, is probably being ugly. But Roschon is the one I kind of want to pick up and stash just to see how it shakes out this week, because we don't really know.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with any of them. Khalil Herbert, you know, every single time he's carried the ball 10 times, he's had 50-plus rushing yards, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 a couple times. So were they easing him in because he wasn't 100% right before the bye? Deontay Foreman got banged up. I'm with you. There is a world. Yeah. Roshan Johnson, let's see what you have. Maybe you're our future running back next year. But again, this is a team that whose leaders, and I'm including coaches, might not be the ones making that call next year. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. Like Herbert, Foreman, Roshan, stash any of all of them, whatever, but you're not probably going to want to start any of them this week because we legitimately have nobody's going to know. The beat writers aren't going to know. The only people that know are the head coaches.
I mean, early in the year, it was easier to stomach because Deontay Foreman wasn't a part of it. And then he came in and he looked good. He looked really good on
part of it.
Yeah, on every side of the ball. So it's like, how do you just keep him completely out of the game? But they have literally, all of these guys have all been given the opportunity to be the feature guy this year. And how Khalil Herbert is probably the least of holding on to that situation and running with it, if you will. But yeah, we don't know. We don't know who it is. So if you cannot, and that is safe to say, you would rather start. Would you rather start DJ Dallas or any of those Bears running backs? If you had to like pick one, like Khalil Herbert, would you go Khalil Herbert or DJ?
If both Charbonnet and Walker out, DJ Dallas. Yeah. At least I know who's the lead.
Okay, so yeah, then any of the others, you're gonna pick the same thing. Let's talk about some flyers. What running back flyers are sitting out there for you this week that you're picking up off of waivers?
Ton of backups, but I mean, I threw out Ty Chandler's name. That one was, he was looking better on a per touch basis than Madison. And then right before the bye, I was like, all Madison. And so maybe part of that was that ugly game. I don't know. But I would take a chance on him. You mentioned that the Commanders are on a bye. So if you want to stash Gibson or even Chris Rodriguez for the fact that maybe Brian Robinson's not healthy when they come back off their bye. But then of course the weird non-concussion of Derrick Henry. And so Tajay Spears, and then you can talk about Chase Brown starting to get worked in, even though Joe Mixon had a big game against the Jaguars. You know, that's a team that could actually look forward with Chase Brown because they're probably done with Joe Mixon. So why not see what you have in Chase Brown to see what you want to do next year at running back? And of course, the Elijah Mitchells of the world, because we said it last week and the week before, but I don't want to put this, like, if it happens, I hope this never happens that I keep mentioning it, but people are going to go bananas if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. Like, just
stop instead, it.
Put it this way. If you're not starting DJ Dallas, you're stashing Elijah Mitchell. If you're not starting Tyler Allgeier, stash Mitchell, stash Dowdle, stash Ethan Latavius Murray. The ones that one injury, all of a sudden you're talking about a running back with 15-plus touches. I guess Allgeier's in that conversation, but, I mean, for all intents and purposes, outside of a freak injury, we really don't see Bijan Robinson getting hurt. You know, I'm trying to guess at injuries, but you get my point here.
Yeah, you're like, Christian McCaffrey, he's going to get hurt, but Bijan, he's not. Put that evil. No,
I mean,
him.
The difference between the two, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, he's had a history at least. But
yeah, that's
like Austin Eckler, he's not even 100%. I don't like Joshua Kelly. Joshua Kelly's stunk every time he's gotten the opportunity. But, you know, maybe the better conversation to be had would be, instead of stashing Chris Rodriguez, you stash those guys, but you get the point.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm with you on a lot of that. The one thing I wanted to point out, man, I was ready to unload for Tajay Spears this week when that concussion was going on. Obviously, that is somebody that can, Derrick Henry is somebody that could overcome it. No, I know, but like when we thought it was a concussion, the odds have told us for the majority this year that player will not play, even though, you know, it's a possibility. But if the concussion was there and he was in proto, Tajay Spears is going to be number one by a landslide, because this is one of those like Keaton Mitchell type of, just maybe not quite the same, but that type of talent when he's thrust into it. And then they're just like, and Mike Vrabel's like, nope, he didn't have a concussion. Like, what? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? NFL should
don't believe you.
I don't believe. Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe. It sounds about as believable as the Bengals not knowing about Joe Burrow's wrist thing. I don't believe you, sir. All right, let's go over to wide receivers. I am very happy with this one that you put up here at the very tippy top when we're talking about waivers, because this was the first place I went, and I could not get Mr. Scott Bogman to agree with this one in the top range here, though I do have a disagreement at the bottom of your wide receiver waivers that guy should be higher. But Noah Brown, you picked up on. And Noah Brown, we saw thrive when I believe it was when Nico Collins was out. We now know Tank Dell is out for the season. The Texans are going to sling the ball. You can make an argument, hey, Robert Woods is healthy. Okay. But Nico is going to be a big force. But Noah Brown has been a playmaker, and you put him at the tippy top of the wide receiver waivers. So I love it. So talk us through.
What do I need to talk through outside of the fact that we saw earlier this year what Noah Brown could do? Of course, we're not sitting here saying he's going to have 100 yards in every single game the rest of the way. But C.J. Stroud is legitimate. He's replacing Tank Dell back when Noah Brown had those games. We had the conversation on this show, and I said if he's going to hurt anybody, he's going to hurt Tank Dell because he spends more time downfield than Nico Collins does. Nico Collins still gets open quicker than the others, and it depends on whether or not C.J. Stroud is under pressure if he takes those shots downfield, which Nico Collins gets his own share, don't get me wrong. But he steps in for Tank Dell. It's very simple. Noah Brown, Tank Dell, one for one. Is he going to be as successful as Tank Dell? Maybe not, but even 80%, top 36 wide receiver. This is simple. Don't overthink this one. For everybody out there, what about Robert Woods? Don't overthink it. Stop. No.
I agree. If he's healthy or he's like in the lineup, who would you rather, Noah Brown or Marquise Brown?
Noah Brown.
Me
Marquise
too.
Brown's like, stop. Like, Noah Brown. Marquise Brown hasn't done anything.
Do we just become best friends? Yep. I completely, I'm so over Marquise Brown. He's done nothing this year. He stinks.
Marquise Brown isn't even Marquise Brown, which Marquise Brown has always been overrated anyway because he's been Gabe Davis.
Probably not even the receiver on the Cardinals you want.
No. The thing is, it's like he's Gabe Davis in the fact that you have to put him in your lineup every damn week because if you try to play the matchups, you're going to get him wrong because it's not matchup dependent with him. It's just he hits when he hits and he doesn't when he doesn't. And he's going to get you 4 for 90 and a touchdown some weeks, and then he's going to get you Jack Diddley the other rest. So it's just, no. And he's not even doing that. He's not even getting you the good weeks right now.
Yeah, and I mean, what are you going to do without Jack Diddley? Jack Diddley does nothing for anybody. I want to ask you another one. Noah Brown or Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
Even this week.
You didn't get mad at me, though, so I think you knew where I was going. You didn't get mad at
me.
Well,
it's the Ravens. That's the problem. This is as terrifying as a matchup as you probably find right now. And so I'd say against the Ravens, Nacua or him are going to be able to do something because the only thing you can do against the Ravens is similar to the beginning of the season when the Eagles were in the same scenario, which they're not anymore because everybody just throws all over the Eagles now. But it was slot, quick opens over the middle of the field, tight ends. That's what you did. And that's what you can still do against the Ravens. You can't do it great. And in that situation, you would say Nacua, but Nacua is not 100%. So I was still going.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For both Nacua and Cooper Kupp, if Nacua was 100%, I would think longer about the Kupp versus Brown situation. But I would just take the chance on Cup, maybe getting a touchdown like he did late last week and that kind of opportunity. But it's close. It's at least conversation to have.
Okay, two more real quick with Noah Brown. Noah Brown or either of the Steelers' wide receivers?
Noah Brown.
Okay. Well, okay. And Noah Brown or Adam Thielen?
Noah Brown.
All right. There we go.
Thielen had his last chance last week. I said it on the rank, not with you, but with Meany on All in Football. Like that was Thielen's last chance. You got the Buccaneers, and you couldn't do anything against the Buccaneers. You done. The thing is, too, is Bryce Young's not going to be asked to throw that much anymore. We see that clearly. This is going to be run, and then play it safe. And Mingo's now turned into his number one the past 2 weeks.
And that was my one caveat with you. So we'll flip down to the bottom of this list as far as the fifth topic on wide receivers is you have Mingo. And in my mind, Mingo is my number one. And I get what you're saying with the throwing, but you've had at least 6 targets in 4 straight games for Mingo. He just put up 10 targets, which was a career high. The catches hadn't quite been there, but I guess my point is the force of the offense is going his way, and they are always going to be playing from behind. So I think Mingo belongs at like the tippy top and is right at that wide receiver 3 territory on a bad team that just has to try to keep into games. But you've got him below quite a few other players. I can't.
Yeah, because the offense this offense is in the conversation with the Patriots to be the worst in the league. How about 18, 10, 10, 13, 13? Like, they don't score. I don't care. 6 for 60, whoop the freaking do. 6 for 60 makes you a wide receiver 3 and probably more on the low end. And actually, in half point PBR, you are on the low end. You might not even be a wide receiver 3 on a full slate of teams, which essentially this week with only 2 teams on a bye, you kind of are. So that's all it comes down to. They're going to continue to run against the Saints defense, which, you know, isn't as good as it used to be. I mean, even they don't have Lattimore back. I have Mingo at 5, and I thought I was going to be one of the higher people on it just because it's Bryce Young and this Panthers offense that just is trash.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here, too, to see.
Names in front of him, too, so both Packers are there. Like, we might as well just call this show the Romeo Doubs show because he's been there since the preseason. And he's never left because he's never surpassed 60%.
I don't think he's ever not been on your, like, top.
He's been there the entire year. At least.
Yeah.
The entire year. And now Christian Watson's hurt again with that hamstring. So Doubs and Reed are in play. There's no way on earth I'm going Mingo over both of those with no Watson. If Watson was healthy, then sure, I'd push Doubs and Reed both down because Watson all of a sudden started playing well and Jordan Love rebounded from the beginning of the season. So that. But now Elijah Moore with no Amari Cooper and Joe Flacco, who throws 5 yards at a time. Elijah Moore all day long. Even if Amari Cooper's out there, Elijah Moore over Jonathan Mingo. So I get your point, but it's just scenarios. I just don't think Mingo's in those territories.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. I mean, to your point, since week 10, Mingo is, so week 10 through 13, Mingo is 53rd in half PPR in total points, and his per game doesn't look super great. He scored 9.9 points in week 13, and if you were to put that over like where the majority of these guys are right now, it's probably it is right at the end of that wide receiver 3 territory. He doesn't have a touchdown on the season, so it's definitely a fair point because Noah Brown is a big explosive player.
We'll go back
player.
To week 12 when we had everybody. That 9.9 makes you wide receiver 34 with Kevonta Turpin.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe the upside isn't quite there. I guess it's my argument is like the big number one volume, but that's a weird thing that you've been given this week. Noah Brown, wide receiver 3. Possible wide receiver 2 upside. Mingo, wide receiver 3. Eli Moore, wide receiver 3-2, depending where Amari Cooper is and Joe Flacco throwing the ball. It is a half-decent week if you're in some desperation for wide receiver. And as Jake laid out, it's Noah Brown, it's the Green Bay wide receivers, Eli Moore, DeMario Douglas at 4, and Mingo at 5. Any other wide receiver-based waiver things you want to throw at us?
Well, Douglas versus Parker. If Douglas actually returns with that concussion, then it's Douglas. If he's out, Devontae Parker, you could convince me in that case that Mingo over Parker.
DeMario Douglas or Noah Brown?
Oh, Noah Brown.
DeMario Douglas or George Pickens. Thursday Night Football.
To toss-up. DeMario toss Douglas, up. If he's playing. He's just, well, DeMario Douglas, you're just going to guarantee. I guess George Pickens, if you just need to be like, I need to score all the points in the world. It doesn't matter if I get all zeros. Like
Douglas is good for 6 for 45. You know that, but.
55. Don't hate him that much.
Oh, okay. No touchdowns or anything like that. Do you think, what is the, I think the over-under is 30 and a half.
Has it slid under
can
yet?
Could you take the over in that game?
I'm waiting to see if it slides under 30.
This is an Iowa game. I mean, that would be, has there been a NFL total lower than 30 in the last couple of years?
That was just thinking the same thing. And I was going to say, it's actually down to 30 in multiple spots. We might get this under. It's getting under 30.
It's getting under. It's 100% getting under 30. Would you bet
DraftKings, PointsBet, Caesars, Bet365, and MGM all have it at 30. FanDuel's the one hanging on at 30 and a half. And this was, they were all 30 and a half and 31 yesterday when I did Mayo's show. So I know that it's already dropped the point across the board. And people are, like you said, people are still going to bet the under. It's going to slide under.
I think when you look like on Wednesday or Thursday morning, you're going to see predominant money still on the under. Because, and that also why it's fantasy relevant is the projected scoring. There's just no projected score. You're literally just looking for volume. You're like, please, Elliott, catch 6 passes. Please, Deontay Johnson, catch 7 passes. And it's all going to be for bad yards and bad production. There's no way. It's gross. Let's talk about some streamers then. We got through where you want to go with waivers here. This actually might be a little bit more relevant than usual because, you know, Trevor Lawrence is out. People might need to be turning to it. You did something interesting in the waiver column. I don't know if you – I feel like you just did this because I don't recall seeing this before. But, you know, you can correct me. Is you did the rest of the way. So you're kind of opening this up to the possibility that this guy is, A streamer. Here are his matchups, blah, blah, blah. For multiple weeks, but B, maybe he's not a streamer and you can pick him up because here are his matchups over the next couple of weeks. So number one was Matthew Stafford, if you're looking for a streaming option, especially specifically talking to the Trevor Lawrence people.
Oh, I thought, excuse me, sorry. I thought that you were just listening.
That was a bad transition. Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about Matthew Stafford here, who's got Baltimore, Washington, New Orleans, and the Giants over the next 4 weeks.
It's all about after this week. I don't want to start him at all. I don't know if he'll even be top. He won't be top 15 this week. But you just mentioned what's after that. Everybody throws on the Commanders. Saints defense isn't anything what it was for the first half of the season, which, by the way, I threw out that stat on Sunday, and just a proof of why, a sidebar for everybody, do not chase the rest of the season. Don't chase playoffs. Don't chase defenses. We'll look at what they got in weeks 11 through 15. Don't do it because it happens all the time. The Saints, through the first 6 games, their teams, combined teams, the Vegas total for the game, 0 for 6. Their games did not hit the over in all 6 games. And then since then, it's 4-6 they've hit the over. And by wide margins on some of those because the defense has fallen apart. The Saints are interesting because there was a few years ago, I think it was 2018, but like the first half of the season, it was exploit the Giants, avoid the Saints, and then it flipped, and it was exploit the Saints and avoid the Giants, or it was vice versa. It was whatever year Julio Jones was supposed to face the Saints or did face the Saints in weeks 14 to 16, and it was supposed to be like, oh my God, don't do that. And then it was like everybody just trashed the Giants that year, and it flipped, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, that's actually a bad matchup for Julio Jones, and the Giants were like just, you know, go, or whatever, you get my point. So I just wanted to sidebar that on there real quick because the Saints are doing it again this year. But Commanders, Saints, Giants, love facing those. If you could find another option for this week, please do, against the Ravens. But the Vikings are interesting. It's just we don't know. Are they going to stick with Dobbs?
Is that the option? Yeah, there's this question about, like, are they going to move
the next two are situations we don't even know what to do with because it could be Dobbs for the rest of the year, or they could evaluate for Jaren Hall, but they're still in the playoff mix. But the Vikings have a good schedule because it's Raiders, Bengals, Lions, Packers. That's actually one of the best that you could find on waiver-wise. And then after that, it's the same thing with the Saints. Saints got the Panthers, Giants, Rams, and Bucks. But is it Derek Carr? Is it Jameis? Is it Jameis for 2 games and Carr is back? So it's. I think Stafford's the best, but you just want to find somebody else for this week.
Yeah. Well, because I was going to say, like, are Dobbs or Carr the option? And it's just I don't think Carr will be healthy enough that he could be the this week option. Raiders are a good matchup, but, like, trust Dobbs after that? I'll throw one at you. I don't know if his ownership was too high, but if you're looking at a this week one, I think the only other guy is Gardner Minshew, unless his ownership just doesn't matter here. He's got the Bengals, and defensively, that's a solid matchup. Michael Pittman has been going off. I would say your this week option compared to all of those, if it was a completely healthy Derek Carr, like, okay, maybe him versus Carolina would be the best. And if it was that early week version of Dobbs, okay, him, but I can't trust either one of those. You can't start Stafford. I think Minshew is this week option.
Minshew, absolutely this week option. The rest of the schedule, though, is Steelers, Falcons, Raiders. It's actually pretty good. Okay. I go Minshew second behind Stafford if you could find somebody for this week.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
Just so Minshew, like your playoff lives being on somebody who can score 20 or two.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Tight end streamers, Darren Waller coming up on the list here. Isaiah Likely and Cade Otton. Is Waller coming off of his injury, correct?
Yeah, should be. I mean, there's no guarantee, but all the
what is his ownership percentage?
58, 59.
Yeah, that, he just that's made doable. Cut. Yeah, yeah. That I mean, that means he's sitting out there. So if he's not sitting out there, though, Isaiah Likely didn't really do much, but is still out there. And Cade Otton jump out to you.
Yeah, that's nothing more to go on there for that. That's
nothing really pretty. Tight end. I mean, at this point, also got to point out, you guys have been given so many olive branches to tight ends this year of like, all right, here's your core. And then, oh, here's this guy. That I mean, like the way you could have got this guy to come, you had all the opportunities to get the Laportas and get the Kincaids early and get Firemuth when he was hurt and down. You pick him up. I mean, you got to have a good tight end at this point, right? How would you not have a good tight end unless you're in like a deep league? I just don't
slacking
know.
On waivers.
You're slacking. That's exactly right. You're a slackety slacker. All right, that's going to do it. That is the waivers. If you guys want to go and check it out, a slackety slacker. Those are the people that are starting Cade Ottens. You should be starting something better, easy. You can check out Jake's waiver wire column over at The Athletic. You can do that right now. Get you guys prepped and kind of gives you an inside perspective of some plays that you might want to pay attention to for this coming week. Later in the week, Brandon and I, we're going to be recording and doing the ranks episode where we'll take a look at Jake's ranks. We'll see where Brandon is versus some of those. And then we'll get you some of the best matchups and get you set for what I know is everybody will say a must win week. It's a must win week because it is the final regular. Exactly. So, you know, and for guys like us, when you play in so many leagues, it's actually a great time because it's like, I never have to look at this team and start this team again. That's bad. And then you can be hyper-focused on, you know, you pare down a little bit. I mean, in the perfect world, all of your teams are amazing and you go to the playoffs, but you get to pare down a couple teams. You don't have to look at their roster anymore and you get to get hyper-focused. A lot of you out there, you got one team and hopefully we can do our best to help you win. You can follow him on Twitter at AllInKid. Make sure you're locked in for the best theme songs. And you said it is TV shows first and then animation?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. And are you spanning it over this week and next week?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, anticipation. You're going to get some. You're going to get some people. You're going to get some people in it. I am very excited to read that. Mention it on the episode.
People get mad about everything all the time anyways.
Yeah, I might go through the comments and find my favorite comment as well on the theme. So there you go. Make sure you're locked into that. Go to The Athletic. Sign up today. Make sure you're in it. All in Kid on Twitter. You can find me at Is It The Welsh. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. And good luck. We'll talk to you later in the week right here on The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.